Our colleague David Benoit covers banks. And lately, he's been writing about one bank in particular, called Silvergate. Silvergate is not a household name, but in the world of crypto, it's huge. Over the past few years, it's become the go-to banker for crypto companies.
Silvergate's the one bank that touched crypto, that sort of brought crypto into the mainstream banking system. Most of the banks have wanted to stay far away from crypto. And Silvergate said, we're going to plunge in there and try to take some business.
And business has been good.
They were banking all the big customers, all the big players in crypto. Their deposits soared, their profits soared. Their stock went from $12 to over $200 at one point in 2021. It looked like they were kind of headed to the moon.
And then...
it's the oldest saying in the book, what goes up must come down.
Bitcoin getting hammered today, hitting its lowest level since last July.
Bitcoin and Ether both down. We're looking at double-digit losses in the last 7 days.
FTX, founded by 30-year-old Sam Bankman-Fried, has filed for bankruptcy.
It's all a far cry from the gold rush-like atmosphere from not that long ago.
Last year, the crypto world entered a crypto winter, and it's raised questions about the future of the crypto industry's top bank, Silvergate.
Right now, Silvergate has fallen dramatically. Its stock is down some 90%, and we are now wondering what sort of the future holds for a bank that is focused on an industry that's somewhat in flames.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knutson. It's Monday, January 9th. Coming up on the show, can a bank that bet it all on crypto survive the crypto crash?
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Silvergate has been around since 1988. And our colleague David says that its path to the top of the crypto industry was pretty unlikely.
Silvergate was a small commercial real estate lender a decade ago in La Jolla, California. It was really a bank no one thought too much about.
For most of its history, Silvergate's business was making real estate loans. It had a handful of bank branches around the San Diego area. But in 2013, the bank's direction changed thanks to its CEO, a 60-year-old banking veteran named Alan Lane.
So professionally, I'm CEO of a local community bank here in San Diego.
And here he is in 2014.
Married, 5 kids, 12 grandkids, and 2 more on the way.
He's up to 26 grandkids as of the summer.
How did Alan Lane first get involved in crypto?
The story is that someone kind of said, hey, you should look at this crypto, and he started reading about it personally.
It was an intellectual curiosity on my part. I was reading about this thing called Bitcoin at a popular level. You know, I thought it was fascinating.
And he bought 10 Bitcoin, and the price soared, and he sold some of it. He jokes that he gave up some significant gains.
By selling it too soon, in other words.
By selling way too soon. This is back in 2013, and he just sort of became enamored with it, and he's a true Bitcoin believer.
I absolutely believe that Bitcoin and digital currencies are here to stay. They're not going away.
He talks about that all the time publicly, about he believes that Bitcoin has use. He believes in the blockchain.
As Lane got more interested in crypto, he realized the industry had a problem.
He started talking to people and found out that mainstream-ish crypto companies couldn't get a bank account. That none of the banks in the U.S. would touch this because regulators were so concerned about crypto, you couldn't even open a deposit account. That's an essential need if you're a company in the U.S. to have a bank account.
Even though crypto companies are all about inventing the currency of the future, they still rely heavily on old-fashioned US dollars to do stuff like pay bills and employees. And that's where Alan Lane saw an opportunity.
CEO Alan Lane decided, hey, I think we could do this. If we talk to our regulators, if we do this right, we can bank crypto companies. So that's what he says they did.
Silvergate wasn't touching customers' crypto. Instead, it became a place for crypto companies to park their dollars. And this simple service became a way bigger hit than Lane expected. So big that Lane eventually sold off most of the bank's original real estate business.
They totally focused themselves on crypto in a way that some other banks have touched crypto and have agreed to bank companies, but no one else has given up the rest of their business. No one else has 90% of their deposits coming from crypto companies.
Nobody else went all in like these little guys from La Jolla, California.
Correct.
Silvergate started out providing basic banking services to crypto companies, but it didn't stop there.
So as the money sort of flowed in, Silvergate realized a second issue for the crypto industry, which was it was hard for someone who is investing in crypto to move money between various exchanges.
Before Silvergate, big investors like hedge funds and pension funds had to go through a lot of steps to move cryptocurrency from one crypto exchange to another. It was complicated and slow. So Silvergate stepped in and created the Silvergate Exchange Network. It allowed customers to move money between exchanges instantaneously. Silvergate launched its exchange network in 2017, and that's when its business really started taking off.
It became a place where if you wanted to get money into the exchanges, this was a very easy way to do it. And their growth expanded pretty quickly. And their deposits went from something like $5 billion just a couple years ago to $14 billion last year. So almost all of the big exchanges had accounts at Silvergate. And then new investors who wanted to put money into the exchanges started going to Silvergate, if only to make it easy to move money back and forth.
The company also got an endorsement from one of the industry's biggest names, a bushy-haired crypto celebrity named Sam Bankman-Fried, the founder of the crypto exchange FTX.
There was sitting on the homepage of Silvergate's website a quote from Sam Bankman-Fried that said, "Life as a crypto firm can be divided up into before Silvergate and after Silvergate. It's hard to overstate how much it revolutionized banking for blockchain companies."
If Silvergate's pivot to crypto was going so well, why weren't other banks trying to do the same thing?
The banking industry is generally very wary of touching crypto and remains so today because of the open history of money laundering through the system, through Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies.
Plus, being a bank for crypto companies carries another big risk. The value of cryptocurrencies can fluctuate wildly, meaning while money might flood into Silvergate during boom times, it might also rush out just as quickly during a big downturn.
The risk has always been, and they've always been pretty upfront about this, that those deposits were incredibly volatile. No one's putting their money at Silvergate because they want to have a Silvergate bank account, you know, as like their direct deposit. It's money that's there to be invested in crypto and to be taken out of crypto.
If cryptocurrencies crashed and Silvergate's customers started pulling their money out all at once, it could pose big problems for Silvergate. It could mean a bank run. So Silvergate decided to play it safe. Instead of lending out all those deposits like most banks do, it decided to hang on to it and park it mostly in easy-to-sell investments like U.S. Treasuries. The idea was to have enough money on hand to weather a serious storm, a major downturn in the crypto market. And pretty soon, Silvergate's play-it-safe strategy would be put to the test. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, But buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
By 2021, Silvergate was thriving. They'd gone public a few years earlier, and their stock was on a tear.
They were planning to launch their own stablecoin. They were making more aggressive plans to launch lending into Bitcoin. They were really like double, tripling down on the industry and how they could get more exposure.
And then last summer, things started to go south. A prominent cryptocurrency collapsed. A lender and hedge fund went bust. And the price of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies tumbled. David says that all of this started to impact Silvergate.
Silvergate's deposits went kind of haywire.
Customers started to withdraw a lot of money.
They disclosed that one day in the quarter, the deposits were $17 billion, and another, they were $12 billion. And that kind of swing, a $5 billion swing on a small bank like that, that's pretty unheard of.
But the crypto crash was just getting started.
Yeah, so in mid-November, we start hearing FTX maybe have some liquidity issues.
It turns out that FTX's own finances were far from solid.
Turns out that maybe they don't have the assets that everyone thought they did.
Tonight, the cryptocurrency world is reeling after the meltdown of one of its most popular trading platforms.
And within a week, that exchange collapses, and we realize they don't actually have the money.
FTX filed for bankruptcy protection today as fallen crypto king Sam Bankman-Fried stepped down as CEO.
This news hits Silvergate very quickly.
FTX and its sister firm Alameda had about $1 billion in deposits at Silvergate. That's almost 10% of the bank's deposits.
The first weekend that we start hearing rumblings about this, Silvergate's stock starts tanking. And partly that's because Sam Bankman-Fried is sitting on their homepage as an endorsement, which is not a great thing at that moment. People start paying attention to Silvergate in a way that they haven't, particularly short sellers who start raising lots of questions and start asking about how close they were to Sam Bankman-Fried in the empire. And Silvergate pretty quickly has to come out and put out a statement as FTX goes bankrupt and says, look, they're about $1 billion in deposits with us. We have no lending to them. We have no other relationship to them. We can't say anything more at this point.
Did Silvergate know that FTX was using customer money for trading?
So they have not officially answered this question. The closest answer we have is they received a letter from three senators, including Elizabeth Warren, asking them for details. And what they told those senators was, we can't say anything. We're not allowed to tell you, but they implied in their response that they were surprised by the reports that money was going to Alameda that was supposed to go to FTX.
As FTX imploded, the entire crypto ecosystem cratered. Investors pulled their money out of cryptocurrencies and out of Silvergate.
What the bank said is, our big customers came to us and said, we don't want to touch crypto right now. We're pulling our money out, and therefore, we don't need to have it at Silvergate. If we're not buying and selling crypto, there's no need for us to have money at Silvergate. The way they described it is a crisis of confidence in the cryptocurrency world that just no one wanted to touch it.
The doomsday situation Silvergate had feared was actually happening. The bank was facing a full-on bank run.
So what we now know is that $8 billion in deposits came out of the bank in the last quarter of the year. So that encompasses mostly, it seems like, after FTX collapsed. It's like 70% of their deposits from the crypto world just left the door.
How big of a deal is that for a bank to lose that much of its deposits?
It's quite possibly historical. I did some research and found a 1938 Fed paper that said the average deposit outflow of banks that were closed in the Great Depression was 38%.
And that was a time when famously bank runs nearly brought down the entire U.S. financial system.
Correct. That's like viewed as like the worst of bank run time.
How is it even possible for Silvergate to lose that many deposits in a matter of months and not completely collapse?
What Alan Lane said when announcing these numbers was, look, we had a playbook.
We had a playbook that we hoped we would never have to execute, right? Which is, what do you do if you have sustained deposit withdrawals?
So what they did was they sort of raced to sell off these bonds and treasuries and these short-term securities that they had. They took some that they had not planned to sell and sold them. And they wound up taking huge losses while doing this, but they were able to get enough cash in from those securities and out the door to their customers. And they were able to keep meeting their demands.
So in other words, there was a bank run at Silvergate, but Silvergate was able to say, here's your money back.
Correct. And they say they still have enough cash. And they have $4.6 billion in just cash sitting there. They have another $5 billion plus in these short-term securities that they can sell. They moved and cut 40% of their staff, about 200 jobs. They say they're going to trim some businesses. But I think there's a legitimate question of a bank that had $14 billion in deposits and today has four. What is the future business? Where are they going to get money from?
Silvergate played it safe, which is why it's still in business today. The company says it has enough money to handle, quote, a sustained period of transformation, and that the bank remains committed to crypto. Silvergate was like at the center of this thriving crypto ecosystem that seemed to be doing so well. But now the crypto itself is on the rocks. Do people need a Silvergate anymore?
That's right. I think that's the question they have to answer. Like, is your business model, is what you decided to focus on, still viable? And I think that there's a pretty large chorus saying no.
What do you think what's happened to Silvergate says about the future of crypto?
I think it's pretty bleak for the future of crypto, to be honest. This is a place that sat in the middle. It wasn't holding crypto itself. This is a kind of middleman in the industry just getting hammered. It's not a good harbinger for the rest of the industry.
That's all for today, Monday, January 9th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. If you like our show, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We're out every weekday afternoon. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.